Let's go in the scripture. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And if I know what's on my heart, if the Lord leads this way, we're going to talk about the effect of Christ. The scripture talks about that. And what effect, if we want to use that term, that Christ has upon those that come to him. And I've noted, and I've seen this many times, but I've noted people that even were raised in what were called Christian homes, raised in church, and come to an age that they say, if that's what God is, I don't want it. And that was the effect of religion upon them. But that's not the effect of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, began reading the 13th verse, probably through the 18th verse. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. And he's speaking about the rite. Some would call an ordinance. Some would call a ritual of water baptism. There's no doubt that the apostles baptized. There's no doubt that Paul baptized. But there is pretty clear indication that Paul came to the place that when people were getting so caught up and who they were baptized, how they were baptized, what this thing was, that Paul lost heart for it in that respect, because he understood, as it is, that water baptism was simply a testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. And to make anything more than that is to do harm to the people. And so he says this, he says in the 17th verse, for Christ sent me not to baptize. And here's one, and we're going to see it in his words and in some other scriptures, that to let it be known, listen, Christ gave me a commission. He gave me that which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. And it wasn't an ordinance, and it wasn't a ritual, it wasn't a ceremony. That ceremony is a beautiful testimony. But the ceremony can't save, and the ritual can't save, and the ordinance can't save. And so Paul set his heart to say, I'm going to do what Christ sent me to do. And he describes that, he said, not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And he said, this is what Christ sent me to do, to preach the gospel. And I'm going to do that. He's going to say that in even clearer terms. I'm going to do that. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to do what he sent me to do. I'm going to be a faithful steward, a faithful minister. So I'm going to preach this gospel that he's given to me. And he said, not with wisdom of words. And this term comes up often with Paul, but he said, I'm going to preach it, and then I'm not going to explain it away through man's words. I've seen that so many times over the years. I remember when I first came to the Lord, I used to hear a preacher on the radio, a Bible teacher that did some great, tremendous Bible teaching. But before his program was over, he would always explain it away and tell us that these great things that he taught weren't really real things, that they were really just the way we stood before God, but really no effect upon our walk. And I said, well, he preached a powerful message and then he nullified it. And then he said, it's nothing. Well, Paul said, he sent me to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. Preach it as it is. Preach Christ crucified. Preach the blood of Jesus. And we're going to talk about some of these things this morning. But he says this, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ become of none effect. And maybe put it in my words this morning, unless what God gave it to do won't work for you. That's the cross becoming of none effect. That what God did and sent His Son to do, to die for, this great and glorious salvation. But if I mix it with my wisdom, if I mix it with my words, if I mix it with my apologies, it will do nothing for you. It will become of no effect. And so you'll have a religion, a form of godliness, he would later say, that denies the power thereof. But I want you to keep that term in your mind and your head this morning about the gospel of Christ becoming of no effect or losing its effect or not having an effect upon you. Because if it loses its effect or if it never has an effect upon you, you're lost. It doesn't matter if you can quote the scripture from cover to cover. It doesn't matter if you can pray better than anyone in the church house. When Christ seeks to have His effect upon you, you're lost. You're lost without Christ. Is there anything more lost than that, than to be without Christ? There's another verse of scripture. It's Galatians, the 5th chapter, that he uses this same wording. And probably 1-6 there. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised. Now, here's a different issue here. Circumcision became an issue to Paul because the Jews preached and believed, and to this day, that as this was a token given to Abraham, that every male child would be circumcised at 8 days old, and a convert or proselyte in Judaism would be circumcised at whatever age he was as he came in to Judaism. But they went, as these believers preached the gospel, Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas and others traveled and preached the gospel, and there was a great revival, and multitudes were gathered into Christ, and there was a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. But as Paul would leave and travel to other cities, at times others would come claiming Christ, but preaching something else. And this message that they were preaching to these people that had been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, saw the works of God, been used of God, was a church of Jesus Christ. But one day someone showed up, and he was important because he was from Jerusalem. And we know that's where the church was founded. He was from Jerusalem. He was from America. And so he's important. And he come, and this church of people that have been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost for years, established in the Lord, and he preaches, wow, you believed in Christ. That's wonderful. This is a great salvation. Oh, my, what the testimonies, what God has done. But did you know that unless you're circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you can't be saved? And the people go, what? Really? You mean that? And they've known the Lord. They've known the reality of Jesus Christ. They've known a new heart, a new spirit, and His Spirit. Yet they begin to believe someone that says, God didn't ever do anything for you because you weren't circumcised. You didn't go through our ritual, through our form, and keep our law. And they started to believe them. And they begin to believe them, not just one or two, but multitudes begin to believe them. And they'd have circumcision services. Boy, what a service. You know, where they'd take the grown men and they'd circumcise them. They came with their knives. What an hour of rejoicing. I want to tell you something. They thought they were having a great renewal, a great revival, as multitudes were coming in to this new thing that Paul forgot to tell them about. And so Paul is writing to them, and he says in the 3rd chapter, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, how many remember when the Lord came to you? Did He come to you in a ritual? Did He come to you in a form? Did He come to you in a ceremony? Did he come to you in all the garments of religion? Or did he come to you when you believed upon his name and called upon him? Did he come to you in that hour and bring his glory and his grace to you? And that's what Paul said. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh or completed by the flesh? He didn't even say, as some say, are you made perfect in the flesh? He said, no, are you going to find some kind of completion above what Christ has done? Are you going to find a completion in a ceremony where they take their knives to you? Are you going to find a completion under a list of ordinances and rules and laws that they give to you after Christ has done so much for you? Are you going to find completion in these things? If he's speaking as one, he said, are you so foolish even to think that that could happen? And so he says this to them. He says, I say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I have seen many a times over the years with someone come along telling people what you have to do. And you say, well, I don't believe that's the case yet. And they say, but you better not take a chance. If just a little chance that it's so. I've seen people come to children of God. Well, you were baptized how? Oh, my. Well, we got to baptize you this way. But I'm saved. Yeah, but you don't want to take a chance. I want to tell you, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're not taking a chance. If He is your Lord, you're not taking a chance. But they'd say that, but don't take a chance with it. I'm not taking a chance. As I've begun in Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. But he says that, he said, listen, you think that you're just eliminating all bad options by doing this. He says, but I'm going to tell you what's happening to you. He said, if you're circumcised, he's not saying if you were by birth or in some times past, but if you begin to think that this is going to do something for you, it will. Hear me. If you begin to think it's going to do something to you, it will. It will cause Christ to be made of none effect. And I want to tell you something. That's the most horrible thing that can happen to a child of God, is the reality is lost. Hear me. The reality that all they have left is their form of religion, but the reality of Christ is lost. And that's what happens when Christ becomes of none effect. When he loses his effect, when something, and you say, why would that happen? Because they were turning from their trust in him to their trust in some earthly religious thing. And they were turning from that simple saving faith in Christ that brought such glory and salvation to them to some fleshly, earthly thing brought to them by man. Now, I said I want to talk about the effect of Christ this morning. There's many ways we could describe it. Some we've preached often over the years. Romans 6:6. How many could quote this verse of Scripture? I believe every child of God ought to commit this to memory. I believe that. Knowing this, this is something you need to know. Do you know this morning? Knowing this, I have read, seen entire books written on the cross of Christ that didn't know this. I've seen people that have thought they've gone around the nation preaching the cross of Christ, preaching Christ crucified, that didn't know this. And oftentimes we're preaching the opposite of this. Because I'll tell you, from my background, and a lot of the full gospel, but any sort of holiness background, so oftentimes the only thing they know or think they know about the cross is that it's something that, since they came to the Lord, must learn how to crucify themselves or subdue fleshly appetites or sin to serve God. And they think that that is preaching the cross. But that's not preaching the cross. That's preaching flesh. That's preaching what you can do. But what about the effect of Christ upon the believer? And this is where Paul says, knowing this, this is what we know. It's not what we think. It's not what we hope for as a child of God. We know this. How many children of God are here this morning? Raise your hand. Do you know this? You didn't see it happen with your natural eyes, that you weren't there when they nailed him to the cross, but know this, and as sure as the sun rises in the morning, know this, my old man is crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be what? Someone help me. Destroyed. That man of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth, you know what that means? From this point on. I was a mess, I tell people, when I came to the Lord. But from that point on forward, I would not serve sin. The next verse, because he that is dead is freed. And that's the effect of Christ. The effect of Christ is not coming and saying a prayer and then learning how to go through some religious principle or form or discipleship even so that you can learn how to live for God. I want to say this, and it's become so big in our land today, that discipleship, and it becomes a great and a mighty thing, and no one should speak ill of that because we're teaching people how to live for God, but we're not. We're teaching people how to become holy. We're teaching people how to get out of sin. We're teaching people the wisdom of words that Paul said, I won't preach. I'll preach Christ did it when he hung on that cross and nailed my sin and made me free. That's the effect of Christ, and we exchange it for the effect of man. We exchange it just like they did in Galatia for a ritual and then a list of things of how you're going to live for God when the promise of the new covenant was, I write my law on their heart. I put it in their inward parts. They shall not teach every man his neighbor saying, know the Lord. They will know me. Do you believe that? That's the effect of Christ. Amen. Christ didn't come to make you religious. He come to make you a new creature. And he come to make you free. And he said, this is the effect of Christ. And we know it. It's the effect of the cross that he said, I won't add wisdom of words because it'll make it of none effect. But the effect of the cross is Keith Surface died. The effect of the cross is you died upon that cross. What are you talking about? That old thing that was destroying you and dragging you down, that old thing that was carrying you into damnation, is nailed to the cross of Christ so he might destroy it there. And that when it's destroyed, you won't serve him anymore. You won't serve sin any longer. That's the effect of Christ Jesus. And that's why he's warning. He said, I don't want to do anything that makes that of none effect. Because if I make that of none effect, your walk with God is going to be a struggle. Your walk with God is going to be a fight to keep your nose, above the drowning level. Your walk with Christ is going to be this warfare. If that's of no effect. So he said, I won't do anything. Brother Surface has told many times of the minister that someone recommended and they come. He had principles for everything. How many principles he had for marriage? 225 principles to have a successful marriage, and you need to know every one of them. Brother Surface turned to Sister Surface. He said, we're not going to make it. I tell you, the key to successful marriage, love the Lord and love that spouse more than you love yourself. But all the things that, if there's 200 and something to make it with your wife, they've got thousands if you're going to make it with God. And keep your faith in Christ and believe the gospel. But if that's made of none effect, we're in trouble. If that's made of none effect, then you're going to have to align yourself with those that proclaim every Sunday we're all sinners. Because it'll be so. If the body of sin is not destroyed on the cross of Christ, then it'll be so. But if it's destroyed, you can stand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You did it. You did what your word said, and I'm free, and I love you, and I'm going to serve you. Hebrews 10 and 10, just a simple verse of Scripture. In the ninth verse, it's Christ speaking as he comes into the world, I come to do thy will. Christ came to do the will of God. I only accept that. He was born of that virgin, entered into ministry. He had come to do the will of God. He said, I come to do thy will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. He's talking about taking away the old covenant that he may establish the new. By the which will? By the will of God that Jesus Christ came to do. We are sanctified. This is the will of God that Christ was sent in the world to do. If you look up sanctified, if you don't know, it's literally to make holy. The will of God in sending Christ was to make us holy. Now, if you think holiness is a religious form, then you're not going to understand the Scripture. If you think holiness, I tell people all the time, oh, I believe people can dress unholy, but I don't believe you can dress holy. Huh? Brother Surfis took a trip to the Middle East, to Israel, back about 1980. And I remember him telling me this story, that one of the ministers that was with him, one of the people that was with him, was beholding the Islamic culture there and the garments that they wear and they're required to wear in their religion. And his idea of holiness was a religious garment. And he said, boy, if we could only reach these people with Christ, and they'd have it. They already got everything else. Is that foolish? Holiness is not a religious garment. I'll tell you what holiness is when the Scripture says, follow holiness and peace with all men, without which no man shall see God. He's building that on the words of Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When God purifies a heart, I promise you that life's going to be pure. By the which will, this will of God in sending Christ into the world was to what? To sanctify the people. That's me, that's you. Hebrews 13 and 12, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Why did Jesus die? To wash you. He had spent his ministry telling them, said, you fools, you wash the outside of the cup, and the inside is full of excess and extortion. I tell you, he didn't go to the cross to give you an outside form and leave the inside of a mess. He came to do that which the religion of the Pharisees could not do, to wash the inside a cup, to sanctify the people. How? With his own blood, by the offering of his body on the cross. We are sanctified. Are you a child of God this morning? If you're a child of God, then this is one of those you need to know, not that he needs to do, but he has already done this, Steve Cooper. He has sanctified you by the offering of his body. That's the effect of Christ. Not that he's going to do it after we get a hold of you in the next 3 years. Man gets a hold of you. Before man is done, Christ will be of no effect. But by that will, we are sanctified. As a verse of Scripture, Acts 15. Peter is reminding the leaders in the church at Jerusalem of how that the Gentiles receive the Holy Ghost. Because he was sent to preach to a people that he wasn't supposed to go to, enter a house that he wasn't supposed to go into, preach the gospel to someone that his core beliefs said couldn't be saved. And yet Jesus told him to do it. And I don't know what is going on in Peter's heart. You know, Jonah went and preached to Nineveh, not wanting them to repent. I don't know what's going on in Peter. I do believe that he's standing, but we see that God's no respecter of persons. But he's preaching to them, Jesus, just in simple terms. And as he's speaking these things, when he comes to that point that he that believes upon him shall receive remission, the word is aphesis, is actually freedom from sins. The scripture says, while he spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. They began to speak in tongues and glorify God. And Peter is looking at this, and there's Jews with him, and said, Peter, you messed up. This is not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to give the Holy Ghost to Gentiles. And Peter's going, I didn't give the Holy Ghost to Gentiles. I didn't do anything. I didn't touch them. I didn't lay hands on them. I didn't do anything. I just preached Jesus Christ, and God baptized them with the Holy Ghost. And how am I going to get upset with God here? We get so smart sometimes. Peter's telling them this. 8th verse of Acts 15, and God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness. What's he talking? He's talking, bear witness of their heart. God looked into their heart, accepted what he saw. Now, I want to say that. He accepted what he saw. He looked into their heart, he bear witness. And then he gave witness or proof that he accepted what he saw. Can you see that in that scripture? What was his proof? He gave them the Holy Ghost. And put no difference between us and them. He's talking about between the Jew and the Gentile. See, these Jews, Peter, just before this account, had been in that upper part of that house, had seen the vision from heaven, seen the sheet come down with the unclean animals on it that Jews were forbidden to eat. And he heard the Lord saying, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, not so, Lord. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. People get shocked today when I said I was a teenager and nothing unclean had ever come out of my mouth. That's where he was raised. But in that day, Peter said, nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth. He's been a Jew, that fishermen, that disciples follow the Lord. And in all this time, he's never eaten pork. Many different creatures that they called unclean, not me, because they did not view themselves as sinners. The scripture will bear that out. They kept the law. Paul said he kept it blamelessly, perfectly. He was not a sinner because he had an advantage. He was raised that way from a child. How many was raised in the house of God? Anyone here raised in the house of God, raised that way from child, praise the Lord and thank the Lord. And what an advantage, but it might not be the advantage you think it is. It's an advantage to hear the gospel. It's an advantage to be where the presence of God is. But that advantage doesn't save your soul. And then here's another group of people that have never known the Lord, never known the ways of God. Every kind of unclean thing, according to the Jews' tradition, has entered their mouth. They've partook of idols. They've done all these things. Maybe they're wanting the Lord now, turning to the Lord. But Peter thinks, well, we've got an advantage because we was raised right. But Peter stands astounded about what happened that day. And he said, God did something in a moment of time that all our raising didn't do. You know what he did in a moment of time? He purified their heart. Mama didn't do it. Daddy didn't do it. The preacher didn't do it, and all the helps and efforts of man, in a moment of time when they believe that simple gospel, He washes their heart, and before anyone can object, He fills them with the Holy Ghost. And He said, it's done. It's done. That's the effect of Christ. That's the effect of Christ. He puts no difference between Jew and Gentile. He puts no difference between the one raised in the church house and the one raised in the barroom. He puts no difference between them. If they'll believe upon Him, the same Lord over all is rich to all that call upon Him. That's the effect of Christ. Galatians 6:14-15. But God forbid that I should glory, boast. So there's a day that Paul boasted, well, I'm a Jew. I'm a Pharisee. I've kept the law blameless. Never he done any clean thing. Never even went in the house of someone that was unclean. He boasted. He had heard about this charlatan that went and ate with publicans and sinners and harlots and preached the gospel. What kind of ungodly man would do that? His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. But Paul would boast about all these things, or as Saul of Tarsus before he came to the Lord. But when he finds Christ, he said, that was nothing. Things I trusted in weren't lifting me up, they were destroying me. And he says, God forbid I should glory. I'm not going to boast, I'm not going to brag. Except, that's saved. In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to boast about that. I'm going to brag about that. I'm going to tell about that. By whom the world is crucified to me, and I to the world. What brought you out of the world? The cross. What brought the world out of you? The cross. Of Jesus Christ. Yeah, but you had a good, you did, and all the things people would say, Paul said, no, the cross of Jesus Christ. To the one raised in the church house and to the one raised in the most hard place on earth that would believe this gospel. What brought them out of the world? What crucified the world to them? The cross of Jesus Christ. And what took the world out of them? The cross of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. I feel like giving God the glory, all the glory, because only He could do such a thing. That's the effect of Christ. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything. What does it mean? Circumcision don't do it. Circumcision don't help do it. Circumcision don't give you an advantage. And uncircumcision don't do it. It don't help do it. It don't give you an advantage. And I want to tell you, anything that man can do to you, any program that man can put you in, it doesn't do it, it doesn't help do it, it doesn't give you the advantage, only the cross of Christ. Covered a good bit, but I just want you to see the effect of Christ. And how devastating it is if He becomes of no effect to you. You know what happens if He becomes of no effect to you? The uncleanness returns to the heart. The freedom is lost, and you begin to struggle with that old man, that old life, those old things, when Christ becomes of no effect. the holiness that was a gift of God is no more, and the uncleanness begins to trouble you in thought, heart, and life when Christ becomes of no effect. It's devastating. Go one last place of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Another place they said of Paul, his bodily presence is weak, his speech is contemptible. I have lived my life with contemptible speech. That doesn't make a man of God. But I want to tell you one of the things that trouble me. When I say trouble me, raise a caution in me. And it might surprise you. When someone stands up to pray, it might be the dinner table, it might be the funeral, it might be a public praise. And they can make such a beautiful, lovely, flowing, articulate prayer. I'm a little bit troubled. You say, why? Because it sounds like they're praying to me. Sounds like they're praying. So men can hear. And I'm going to tell you this, and this is not an excuse for the frailties of man, but when a preacher stands up, and every word makes everyone in the place feel well, and every sentence makes the people go, wow. And after he speaks, there's no one in the place that would dare disagree because it's just so wise. Because what I preached already about the effect of Christ, I would to God it wasn't so, but someone in here has already said, well, that's just foolish. That's just how ignorant religion is. It was the same in his day. To preach a simple gospel that he died and I'm free. He shed blood, and I'm made holy. He was pierced, and my old man passed away. How foolish to the carnal mind. How glorious to the children of God. And Paul said, I didn't come with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined, made up his mind, I'm going to do what Christ sent me to do. Not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I made up my mind that somebody comes to me with a sin issue, I'm going to tell them, it's the blood of Jesus. That's the answer. He shed his blood to wash. That's the answer. And they said, but oh, there's got to be. No, there is no more than that. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the cross of Christ. He died for you. Put your trust in him. But we, so often, I've done this, get caught up in our wisdom. And before long, we say, well, your circumstance is different. Yeah. Well, you're facing things that most people don't face. And before long, so in your situation, this will do it. And we destroy everything. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. convincing word of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. You'll see the gospel work in those that believe it, and God will confirm it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. We are in the age of psychology in the church. Yes, we are. We don't want the world to think that we're foolish. All you have to do is turn on your religious television. And you're going to take the same things that are said in a psychologist's counseling room, in a self-esteem, self-help, motivational seminar. You're going to hear the same things, except every once in a while we're going to throw in God. And we sure don't sound foolish. But we've lost the power of God. He said, so I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom. Didn't come with, it's the blood. And then after you believe that, then we're going to show you a way to make it work for you. It's Jesus Christ. He shed his blood to take away your sin. Sister Kuiya, it's that simple. It'll always be that simple. He shed his blood to take away your sin. And if you'll believe him, he'll do it. Can you receive this morning? Amen. I know there's many other places that could have went talking about the effect of Christ. But Lord, keep us here. We'll get there. But actually, the point of this message is simply this. Believe him and trust him. You believe him, you believe his word, you trust him. You don't have to worry about Christ becoming of no effect to you, because he's going to work for you. I said, he's going to work for you. See, when I came to the Lord, I'd seen all my life people in religious things. They're in, they're out, they're up, they're down. When I came to the Lord, what he did was so wonderful. I'm rejoicing to this day. But I'd hear some saint of God stand up and said, I've been serving God 20 years, and my heart would just melt. And I've only been living for the Lord for 3 weeks, and 20 years is just too much. And to make a long story short, it was like the Lord asked me and said, why? I'll be the same 20 years from now. I'll be the same. And I say 30 years since, he's the same. His effect, his work, his life, his power. Hallelujah. This is not a message, say, worry. This is a message, say, rejoice. This same Jesus, you'll simply trust him. All your days upon this earth, he'll be the same. He'll be real. Hallelujah. Can we stand to our feet?